the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. His command is what? Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And everybody said, glorify God. I want you to catch these notes really quickly. I want you to notice that this revelation from David Guzak, the theologian and scholar, he writes, he states, these are the last words in John's gospel from Jesus to the public. In this last speech to the multitude, Jesus emphasized the themes of all his previous preaching in John. It included a reminder of his teaching, a challenge to decide, a warning to those who decided against him, and a promise to those who decided for him. Everybody said amen. Amen. The reason this is so valuable and highlighted is because of this. I want to put this in plain terms. Think about this. This we know because, as we remember, we are studying John right now, right? We're studying John. So remember, those who like reading the Word of God, is that in John chapter 13, this begins where they go to upper room and we get a caption of Jesus discipling his disciples on a private setting for the rest of the book. In other words, the Bible is saying in chapter 12, this is the last time that Jesus preaches to the multitude. This is the last time that Jesus preaches to all of the people who have been following after him and wanting to hear his eternal heavenly words. So here it is. Think about this. If this is the last time John records Jesus preaching publicly, how many know you save what's most relevant, what's most important, what is most priority to when you finalize and summarize what you need to hear? Is anybody with me? Are y'all thinking about Fazoli's or what's going on up in here? Amen. God, that was like easy right there, all right? So the issue is, when we realize that this is what Jesus is teaching, then we need to take a look at it from what Jesus makes priority and importance. We'll pick out a few. The first one is this. Do you notice as he's quoting Isaiah, it says believe. It says what? Who has believed our report? New King James and King James. Other translation says message. Who has believed our message? Who has believed our report? I mean, we could identify that today, those who try to share Jesus. Who believes it? But get this, the reason is who believes it, because believe is the operative word to connect you to the power. All it requires is to believe. The scriptures didn't say who's doing, it says who's believing. Who's what? Who's believing our report? Can I give you this quick revelation? Whom has the Lord revealed it to? Here's the point. You see, believing in Jesus does not come by just reading. It does not come by somebody just telling you about it. It does not come by something that you go and go to a little Bible study or a little Sunday school or you read it in a children's Bible. How many understand that is not how you gain revelation about who Jesus is? You only gain a connection and a communion, a fervent, effectual power by having it revealed to you. You've got to only go in by exploration for discovery. If you don't explore it and you're sitting there waiting for it to be proven, then you'll never have it proven because you never explored it. It's only when you explore it does it get proven to you. You see, you can't wait for it to come to you. You've got to go to it and live it by faith. God is not moved by you waiting on him. God is moved by you moving by faith. The Bible says it's faith that pleases God. So when we actually believe and act upon it, God says, I found somebody looking for me. And he pours out the blessing and shows you that he's alive and that he is real. Glory to God. Whoa. You know what? Y'all should start coming to first service. They get live in there in first service. Amen. Praise God. What we're trying to share with you is that if you want to understand the deeper truths, the power on even if God is real, you've got to live in him. That was plain. The second one is this, get this. Believing unto salvation is in the heart even before the head can understand it. Isn't that a good word? How many understand your heart has the power to believe what you know is truth and what is deep, even if your head doesn't understand it? You see, we've got to learn how to live out of our heart and not out of our head. So therefore, we want to go to where God wants to take you, but he'll take your heart before you can get your head to go through it. You see, because it comes by discovery, revelation, and believing. Get this, not by convincing, arguing, proving, but unveiling for the world. That's a good place to say amen. Praise God. The last one is this. You see the scriptures, and we have to deal with this, that it says this, judged already by not believing Jesus' word. We can't ignore that. See, I know that Jesus, remember this is good news. Jesus says, I didn't come to judge the world. But when we don't believe his word, it's a judgment already. Because all it requires is believing. Say that with me. All it requires is believing. All it requires is what?
Believing.
Not doing, but believing Jesus' word. Look what it says. Jesus came to save the world by believing. Jesus came to save the world by what? Believing. I don't want to forget this because it's not in my notes. Number one, we were able as a ministry to celebrate like heaven two people that gave their lives to Christ in the first service. Come on, somebody, and say amen. Glory to God. Isn't that beautiful? Either coming back to Christ or coming to Christ, but wanting to receive Christ. And then a second thing I want you to know is we're here to pray for, and if it's you, I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit, is that one of the things we were praying, and we were walking up a dog this week, and one of the things God had me praying is that somebody that feels like they're at the end of their rope. You know, I don't know who that is, but it's like somebody that feels like, you know what? This is my last chance. And if God doesn't come through on this one, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Whoever we're speaking to, and it may be you or that's online, it may be you that's in the sanctuary, it may be someone in your family, but you know what? Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came to save the what?
The world.
Praise God. We've got to hurry along. So therefore, we've taken a look at that. As we go to this next section, you know, we're going to go very fast, but we just want you to look in the notes to review major activating and equipping points. That second page in message number 3 is all the good points that we want to review in order to be activated and equipped to save the world. Here's why this is so important, is because we are not attempting to preach a series. Are you with me? We want people to live this out. Let me say it another way. We have got to know that we've got to mention about Jesus in coffee houses. We've got to be able to mention when we're talking to people online or wherever we are in a study group or it's a break at work. Sometimes when we pull people to the corner, it's fine to talk about the last night game. It's great to talk about baseball started back. That's wonderful that there's basketball going on in the bubble. But somehow in the midst of even if you're playing basketball and you take a 3, at some point you got to come and pull the person that, you know, I want to tell you about another 3, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, you've got to learn how to insert something that's about God, about Jesus, and his saving power for the world. Amen. Glory to God. Why? Because saved people are used to save others. Let me say it another way. People that experience healing, they want everybody to be healed. Listen, when you've discovered the intimacy that you get, like you literally sense, you know, one of the words for worship means to kiss, and you are spending intimacy with God and you are feeling more love than you ever have before, like no man could ever give you. I don't care what his name is and how many muscles he has, but when Jesus touch you with love, it's like love like you never had before. Somebody say amen. It's like liquid love. Teachers say it's like liquid love being poured inside of you. And I'm telling you, that's the type of love no one can give you. It's thankful. Thank you, daughter. How many understand? I want the type of love that even a man cannot provide or a woe man cannot provide. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Praise God. Those are counterfeits oftentimes, sometimes, that come and they are not representative of who God is. When we're looking for true love, only God is agape love. Somebody say glory to God. Here, I want us to remember what soteria is. Everybody say soteria. Right before we say this, I want to talk about soteria. We're almost coming to the close here. Soteria. I want to read this because I think it's important that we remember this. We talked about salvation. Say salvation. Is a Greek word soteria. It's a word that we don't often use. We use it all the time here. But the word soteria is the general, and it includes restoration to a state of safety, soundness, health, and well-being, as well as preservation, get this, from danger or destruction. In other words, the word soteria, just salvation, this is not deep theology. This is all included in salvation, that you can be healed. Salvation means you can be kept from danger. Salvation means you don't have to live in peril. Get this, even in salvation, you don't have to be in fear. It all comes from Jesus Christ saving and offering us sozo, saved, healed, delivered, salvation, general, overall soundness in every aspect and in every area of our lives. All I need is Jesus' salvation, soteria, to preserve my life. Hallelujah. If you live in that, how about if we live it, then we give it? Glory to God. What a pastor, is that relevant in life? Yes, because Jesus came to earth to show us what the God life would look like on earth. This is not abstract or superficial. This is what causes marriages to go into 26 and 27 years of marriage, when the whole background is nothing but divorce. And you and your wife go through anniversary after anniversary, and you defy that which your family has done. You know how they say you only do what your family has done? How about when you change families and you get born again and regenerated into the people of God, into the family of righteousness, where you see other couples 43 years and 50 years. You know what? Your family may not have done it, but thanks be to God, our family can do it. And that's why in a couple more days, the Smiths are in 26 years of anniversary. Why is that? Because I may not have ever seen it, but thanks be to God, I can live it. Hallelujah. Whoa! Not sure what type of salvation y'all talking about. Say one of a kind. You see, when we talk about one of a kind, look at this. The world needed a one of a kind. The world needed a what? You see, a one of a kind savior to save the world, because the world had unique needs. The world had unique what? I'm going to come back to that in a moment. The last point is this. You've listened to two messages and you go through the review now. What else touched your heart or taught you something? Are you acting upon your activation to try to engage people in this world to be saved? It doesn't matter what you, I mean, in the grocery store. How many know you picking up lettuce and you say, let us pray together? I ain't playing. You know what? Use your gifting. I do want to remind you, my last name is Smith, so I am a word Smith. Are you with me? The point is, whatever your gifting calling is, whatever you do, use what God has given you. Some of y'all look good. A pastor, a Southern Baptist pastor, once we were sitting down for counsel once, and he said something that was so profound. He said, you know, some people are just good looking, and God ought to use their good looks for the kingdom of God. I mean, that was mind-blowing, because some things that we think is worldly, God wants it to use it according to his word. So whatever you have, God wants to use it. Whatever your gifting is, God wants to use it. Whatever your gifting is, God wants to what? Use it. Amen. So I want to give you what this message is about. Are you ready? Say, save the world.
Save the world.
I'll read it this way before we bring this slide up. It says this. You see, this is not a series, but much rather to activate agents. And today is an opening intro to this one message. Now and how. Today's message is just an introduction, just an opening for this one message, and that is now and how. The message is about what? Now and how. Here's why this message is about now and how. So you ask a question, well, Pastor, when are we supposed to save the world? I just told you, now. Hallelujah. Why? Because the world is in need of now. We're gone through pandemic. We've gone through protests. We've gone through unrest. We've gone through isolation. We've gone through people being hurt. We've gone through people feeling lonely. We've gone through people in depression. Around the world, women are being beaten and killed. We are going through people that all kinds of things are breaking out. And now they're talking about this is mutating. I don't care what's going on. It's time now to save the world. Glory to God. Lord Jesus, save the world. Look at this picture. How many of you know the hourglass, tick, 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 sand is dropping? There is time right now to do what? Save the world. And if it's you today that first needs to receive so you can begin to give, then let's go ahead and take care of that so you can walk in the soteria. Somebody say amen. Here's the one thing that will lead us into this passage just for you to know what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. You see, look at this first part. You don't want to miss it. We then, as workers together with him. Do y'all see that? Read that with me. We then, as workers together with him. Think about that. Capital H. Jesus, the Word of God, God himself, calls you and me, the church, the bride of Christ, we who are sons and daughters of God, that we are workers with him. What kind of invitation or hiring is that? God says that we are working together with God. And how many know some of us have this type of theology or teaching that is God doing everything? Yes, God is doing everything. It's because he moved on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit picks it up and leads us and guides us. We are now the light of the world. We are the now. Just as Jesus is, so are we in this world. And we are created and called and now ordained and shining and rising to go and save the world. It is time for us to stop complaining about the world and begin to save it. Why are we complaining? And we need to start pertaining to the issues that exist in our world and stand up. Yeah, the world might be dark, but we are light. We're to go into the world and light it up. We ought to be what's lit in this world. Why do we have to continue to fight about everything when we should be united in Jesus Christ and uniting in his spirit and bringing people together rather than dividing? Glory to God. God, help us to lay down our pride and selfishness and pick up, God, the mantle of meekness and humility and love for one another. Everybody say, save the world. Look at this. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive, look at this, the grace of God in vain. To receive the grace of God, how? Come on now, don't get quiet, homie. I wasn't yelling at you. I was yelling, but it wasn't at you. Amen. Listen. Don't receive the grace of God in how? Two words there. First of all, grace. Say grace. Grace is the empowerment of God. Grace is the empowerment of your life. The Bible says Jesus, law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Word of God wants us to know that we are saved by grace through faith. So look at this. If grace is so powerful to save us, then grace is the empowerment that would lead us to do what we cannot do. Is everybody with me? So get this. Grace is not just unmerited favor. Yes, it's unmerited favor. You can't win it. You can't work for it. God gives it. But if it says don't receive that empowerment from Jesus in vain, do you know why it says that? Because it's possible to receive it in vain. You see, that word vain means an emptiness. In other words, it's kind of like this. You say that you got saved by his grace, so don't receive his salvation, his crucifixion, his going into the tomb, him coming back out with holes in the palms of his hands and going back from death, hell, taking the keys of the kingdom, and then now living it out in resurrection and giving life to people forevermore, turning them from darkness into light, and then you would have that grace be for emptiness. Whatever you have received, you ought to also go give. Whatever you got healed from, go out and call somebody else to be healed. Let me tell you one of those things. When I got saved, I went from cursing. I mean, when I cursed, it was like this. Hello, beep, beep, beep. How you beep, beep, beep? Are you with me? Saved one day, sanctified mouth the next day. No more. Why? Because Jesus saves to the uttermost. And if he can save your mouth, he can save your flesh. He can save your thought life. He can save the things that by his grace go away and it becomes light. Somebody say amen. Amen. Guess what? Jesus can save your hurts and turn them into healed. If you've been traumatized, God can give you a truth that frees you. If you're filling with guilt, God can lift off the yoke of guilt and destroy it, and you go in forgiveness and freedom forevermore. Don't receive the grace of God, how? In vain. Look what it says. For he says, in an acceptable what? Come on, y'all. In an acceptable what? In an acceptable what? I have heard you. And in the day of what? Salvation. I have helped you. Remember what the word sozo and soteria means? It means to rescue. It means that God will come after you and save you, will literally deliver you from what harms you lived in. And he says, in a day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the accepted what? Time. When should we go save the world? Now. Why? Because it now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'll read it again for y'all that like me to read. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We have no reason to wait any longer. The world needs the light of the world, and we need to be a part of salvation. Live it and give it. Give the Lord a glorified honor, man. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want you to hear this message as we close on this thought. Singers, you can come get in place. Get this. Jesus is one of a kind. Jesus is what? Come on, even if you're there in your bedroom, on your sofa, wherever you are, maybe you're just listening but not watching while you're driving, say it with me. Jesus is a one of a kind. Jesus is one of a kind. You see, Jesus is the only begotten Son, one and only one. He's the only one. He is a one of a kind Savior because the world needed someone unique. The world needed someone different in our lives. The world needed someone not like anyone that has hurt you or someone that tried to love you but was limited by their own flesh. We needed to be loved and given eternal life, but believe in Jesus and not be judged, but saved and receive the light in the world. You see, the other day, it might have been yesterday or the day before, Anna Maria shared with me a powerful message, a word that came from Lisa Bevere, brother and pastor or his minister, John Bevere's wife. She wrote a message or something and it went like this. How many of you know we're familiar where we say, God loves all of his children equally? Y'all remember that? God loves all of his children how? And she said, you know what? That's not right. She said, because if God loved his children equally, that means equal is like a set amount that's distributed. So in other words, it's just a cut standard, cookie cutter amount of love, and that's what you get. No, God loves his children uniquely. Did you catch that? Do you know why God has to love his children uniquely? It's because he came as a one of a kind. He was unique. Therefore, because he's unique, he can love each of us uniquely, because some of us got saved in many different places. I got saved out of a club, out of a bar, out of cursing and chasing skirts. You might have got saved while you were in an office. You might have got saved while you were on a basketball court or a football field. You got saved while you was at school. But I don't know how you got saved, but I can guarantee you, Jesus, the one of a type, he saves us uniquely, but unites us together, because we all need to be uniquely loved. Some of us are so empty that God has to pour out more and more of his love. Some of us are so guilty, God has to love you by lifting off guilt. Some of us are so trenched by trouble, he got to come in with unique truth, because Jesus is a one of a kind Savior who saves the world uniquely. Glory to God. So who is it, online church, and who is it in here? Then maybe you're just tired of hypocrisy. Jesus wants to climb over that barrier and save today. Let's sing.